Podcast Network Asia. Network Asia.
Welcome to Sage Conversations, where we believe that life and even the challenges that come with it is the greatest teacher there is. I'm Mara, and in this space, we try to uncover the wisdom behind these experiences, hopeful that these will serve as inspiration for us to achieve breakthroughs and elevate our lives.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sage Conversations with me, Mara. You know, thank you for joining me again. You know, I really do enjoy just talking a lot and sharing with you like the things that, you know, run in my mind and, you know, the everyday mundane stuff or whatever. Actually, for today, I'm not by myself. I will be joined by a really, really good friend of mine. So after last week's episode, which was about, you know, grief and dealing with a sense of loss, I figured, you know what, let's lighten things up a bit. Like, and I figured, you know what, since I talked so much about loss, since I talked so much about, you know, grief being this unexpressed love, you know, grief being something that is also kind of hinged on regret, why don't we look at look at life from a different lens, from a younger lens, you know. My guest isn't a kid, but is someone who works with kids a lot. And, you know, I have seen her in action. You know, I have seen how she speaks to the children. I even her energy is so childlike. Like, it's just full of curiosity. And that's why I figured, you know, this really good friend of mine would be the perfect guest to join me for today's episode about, you know, looking at life through the lens of a child. So please welcome my dear friend, Carla, or sometimes also known as Keiko. So hello, Carla, Keiko.
Hi there. Hello. Hi, everybody. Hello. Hi, it's an honor to be here. It's my first time, and bear with me as you experience an adult, maybe acting like a child or being embracing her inner child.
And yeah,
I feel like there is a lot of conversation that deals with inner child, right?
Oh,
where
yeah,
we try definitely. To heal it. Mm-hmm. We try to embody the face wherein a healed inner child is, and we try to live it. I feel like I am so fortunate to be working with children. Mm-hmm. I've been working with children for over 10 years, and
oh wow,
I mean, it's not something that I studied in university. I finished fine arts, but that shift in career was something momentous. The shift mm-hmm. in career was something that I feel called to do. I feel myself mm-hmm. more when I'm around children. I feel like this is not just, how do I say it, an interest. It's more of a passion. It's more of a calling to really serve children. And by doing that, I got so much more. Yeah. I got so much more than what I got called for. You know, it's not, mm-hmm. it's never, well, you know, we know how the situation is of teachers all over the world. You don't get much. We don't get much.
Right?
But if you look at it in a different lens, in a different perspective, what we receive from our students mm-hmm. is so much more than any amount could ever pay for. The wisdom that I get on a daily basis with the students I encounter, uh-huh. their perspective on things, their views on life, you might say, what could a child teach you? What could a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old can inspire you to do? I kid you not. it's
a lot.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah, it really is mind-blowing. And
absolutely.
You know, I really believe that children are so intuitive. And if there's, and you know, we always hear this thing about, you know, living in the present. And for us adults, you know, because we're hinged on so many things, you know, we're trying to survive day to day, live day to day, or like manifest, embrace abundance, you know, all of these things, you know, how do I grow and all of that. And yet here we have children who are, you know, masters of like what living in the present
in the
truly
present.
Means.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Because like it's just, What I love about children, and sometimes I wonder how I was like as a kid, because I don't really remember much except for like the things I do day to day. But I guess it's that because there's that full presence of what I do every day. You know, I can't think of like anything that I regretted doing as a child.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things. And you know how we, When we share stories about our childhood, everything is so clear.
Yes.
Right? And we get to tell it all as it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, filtering nothing.
Unapologetically.
Unapologetically.
Yeah, that is something that I encounter on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Whether I really am, because I have taken a pause from teaching, but whether I am in a classroom or in a recreational setup, it has always been the case. When I face each family, there's that joy, that inexplicable joy that I feel, because I know I am going to encounter how it feels like to be part of someone's family. You know, it's funny because they say, or like society dictates that a teacher could only do so much. And I agree. I agree. Because, I mean, we're also bound to a lot of things like bills and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, if you get really invested and involved in the life of each child, you really get to see and experience how they go through with life, you know, the hardships, the stress of kids. Mm-hmm. What I try to explain to parents is these kids, they don't have the vocabulary to say when they're stressed. It will manifest to them differently. It will, anxiety for one would manifest as a bellyache. And because they don't know. And I mean, I'm also a yoga teacher, and I'm familiar with the chakras, and if our solar plexus is acting up, then yes, we have issues in our bellies. And children are very sensitive to these things. And what people don't realize is they just don't have the vocabulary to say it. But now that we are facing a life wherein teachers are more adept to different kinds of learning approaches, we get to experience this, and we get to help families better. And in return, we may not be getting monetarily, you know, compensated properly. I don't know how else to describe it, but we get to see a kind of perspective on how to live life filled with joy, filled with that wonder and curiosity that you can only get for when you see things in the eye of a child. I may be 34, but my mindset is always, you know, stuck in that theme.
And that's fine, you know, that's fine.
Absolutely.
Hey guys, this is Anjali Dub, the host of the newest podcast called Life in Progress. Join me as I share my new journey of adulthood and help you a little on how you can be the best version of yourself, one podcast at a time. Powered by Podcast Network Asia.
Like, I wanted to ask you actually, like, you know, first of all, like, how were you as a child? Like, do you think, Because a lot of times, or at least not, I'm not sure if it's a lot of times, but you know, I have met mm-hmm. people who have had like more serious childhood mm-hmm. memories. And mm-hmm. it was only when they started getting older that they started feeling younger and started mm-hmm. to really embrace that, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I am very childlike. So was it ever like that for you? Or were you this, you know, ray of sunshine and whatever ever since?
It's funny. I grew up in a Chinese family household. My dad is partly Chinese. But the thing is, what I'm thankful for is the age gap that I have between me and my siblings. My sister is 6 years older than I am. My brother is 9 years older than I am. So I'm the shobe. I'm the baby of the family.
Yeah.
So being the youngest allowed me some leeway.
Okay.
Some leeway of, you know, shenanigans. I was, well, my mom, she said, she got tired of taking care of children when it came to me. So when I was failing, that was fine.
I failed
yeah. school. I failed school. I failed math. I failed physics, chemistry. And when my brother and my sister couldn't wrap their heads around it.
Mm.
But what surprised them even more was when I told them I wanted to be a teacher. Because I was never the good student. I was never the student who would ace anything in class. That wasn't me. But when I explored fine arts, I may not know how to draw, but the concepts were there. The concepts allowed me to survive fine arts for 4 years.
How did you shift from like fine arts, and then what was that moment when you suddenly thought, you know what, I think I can transmute this energy, you know, this ability of mine, like this curiosity of mine, you know, this thirst for learning, wisdom, etc., into teaching. What was it like?
It was I couldn't shift anymore because it was that class, that painting class in third year college, and we were doing life painting. We were doing nude painting. And I saw it I saw shapes. And that's where we started, right? As a kid, you start geometry with basic shapes. You start drawing basic shapes. You start seeing pictures in different shapes. And that's how I knew that I needed to go back to school to be a teacher because I couldn't shift anymore. It's going to be pointless. So when I finished university, I gave it a try. I gave the agency life a try. I got fired here and there. I suck at it. I'm not the best at it, but because I feel like then I knew I was meant for something else. I knew when I was submitting reports I used to work for a publication company in the Philippines. I used to submit reports for certain titles, and it really questioned my values. And I feel like it was then when I decided, you know what? Life is going to pass by so quickly. I cannot stay here. Mm-hmm. I cannot be doing what I'm meant to be doing. So I went back to school. I finished school. I took the licensure exam for teachers and I passed it. Ever since, I've been working with kids. I discovered yoga and I said, it's something that I want to share to children. And I stepped on it. I mean, I stepped onto that path of taking my yoga teacher training for kids. And I did a couple of training for yoga, especially for children and families. Yeah.
I love it. I love it so much. Oh my God. Like I can see like in your, like you've always exuded that energy of just nurturing and caring. And you know how there are some people who exude this energy of nurturing in a very maternal way. Very, I'll take care of you. I'm here for you. I'll take care of you. But with you, it's like, I'm here for you and I'm actually willing to do crazy things with you and like silly things. Like I will enable your silliness. Like you keep like you're asking questions. Okay, I'm going to answer you and then ask more questions back. You know, because of course, as adults, we're always like, you know, we have to be responsible and all of that. And, you know, how can we cultivate that kind of perspective? Because how can we shift to that perspective? And, you know, it may not happen like complete, like all in one go. But how can we start? How can we start? Because like, it's hard to go into a space of wanting to be there for someone. And then, you know, you treat, for some reason, you're already treating that person as like a project that, you know, you need to finish or like a person you need to fix. But like.
Exactly. Yeah.
But with children, it's really just like, nope. Not fixing anything. I'm just going to enable you. Yeah. So, yeah, please do give me your 2, 3, 4, 5 cents on it. So,
I feel like before you look at things externally, you have to examine yourself internally. Again, before you look at things externally, examine. Examine your heart, examine your soul, and see for yourself. Because I feel like the moment we internalize ourselves, you know, we have that internalizational whatever practice that we may do. And it could be anything as long as you get to reflect, okay, on these, on yourself fully. I think that's a great start. You know, how can you be of service to yourself? I understand that. It may come from a privileged perspective, and I am aware of that, but it doesn't have to be grand. That's one thing I always tell people around me. It doesn't have to be grand. You don't have to take vacations, you know, far wide, or like you like don't have to go to the Caribbean.
Do an eat, pray, love. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't have to be that grand. If you have the means, guess what? Go for it. But if not, one step at a time. Like, at the moment, for example, you know, sit down, close your eyes, and see which part of yourself is missing. Which part within you, which part is, you know, there's a need for anything external. And then go there, go to that place, and see how you can help yourself to feel complete. It's not going to be as easy as that. It took me years. Took me therapy even.
Same.
Medicine. Right? Same. Because it's never easy, but that's the thing. It's a challenge, but at the same time, you can hear people. You can hear people, success stories, you can hear that. And I feel like that could be something encouraging, right? That could be something that could uplift you really, because these people that you hear from, it happened to them. They were so down, but they're not up there yet, but it's happening. Yeah. They're climbing. And I feel like I owe it to the kids I work with, the family I work with, because they literally see me as, or they let me see a certain perspective that I know I have bills to pay monthly and I get to pay them. But at the same time, I know in my heart and I have accepted that I will never see success as how others view it. I have, being a teacher or working with children allowed me to redefine success. And this is a conversation I often have with my family because they don't understand it.
Yeah. But please do share. Like, I want to know. I want to know. Like, seeing that success. with the help of, yeah, being around children, teaching them and learning from them?
As I've mentioned, my family background is my dad is Chinese, my mom is Filipina. So they have a certain definition of success, and it's linear. And yeah, and I'm pretty sure not only Chinese Filipino families experience this, but a lot experience this, especially the younger generation, millennial to Gen Z. I'm not Gen Z, but you know,
I mean, we're still millennials. Yeah, yeah, but
exactly.
The kids. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the kids. But I feel like if we are given the opportunity to work on whatever it is that we're passionate in, we're going to work our asses off in order to face our definition of success. My definition of success is whenever I tell my family this all day, every day, if I feel like I'm going to die at this moment, I will die ecstatically because I know I lived my life doing something I enjoy. I have lived my life doing something I love, and I owe it. I wouldn't see it as such if I were stuck in the corporate ladder. I already imagine the stress, ma. I already imagine the stress I would be dealing with. And I'm not saying that it's bad. It's not.
Yeah.
Props, kudos to people who are working in the industry.
I tried it, but it just didn't.
Yep.
Didn't work out for me.
Exactly. Exactly. You know?
Hey guys, Ken here. Just dropping by to say hi and to invite you to listen to my podcast, Live It Asia with Ken Lizardo. This podcast is for people who want to live life to the fullest by excelling in business, faith, and health. Are you one of us? If that's so, want it, learn it, live it. Check out Live It Asia podcast. Now back to this episode.
But yeah, going back to like again what you said with like the children, with you know being able to see things, like having that privilege actually to learn from kids. Can you share with us like some nuggets of wisdom that you got from your kids? You know, and they can be like just cute nuggets of wisdom, but like. But if they've given you like slaps in the face, which I think they probably have, then, you know, like, okay, like it's kind of like there's this video, I think, of this kid snowboarding.
Yeah.
And then, so the dad actually like put a mic on the kid.
Yeah, I saw that video.
Yeah, you know that video. And then she was like, as she was going down, like she was snowboarding down like that path, that road. She was like, oh, maybe I'll fall, maybe I won't. But if I do, it's okay.
It's
because
okay.
Everybody falls. And like, and of course you listen to that advice because number one, she sounds so cute. You know, there's
absolutely
a, right.
That's a fact.
And
like, oh, yeah.
And that's what clings to you also. So yeah, I wanna know if you've had like similar experiences like that. Or you know, if you've had a bit more quote unquote brutal ones from kids.
Well, on top of my head, I have a couple and I will share this. So when I was working as an early youth coordinator in a cruise ship, I was working in and out of the Caribbean and I have met a lot of families. So these are families from all over the world, and I used to handle children under 5. So I had a team that plans and executes the program for these kids, and meltdown was something that I encounter on a daily basis. I eat it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, midnight snack. So it toughened me up, and it also showed me the kind of parent I want to be. Because every family, every household treats it differently. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it was such a waking up moment for me when I experienced mm-hmm. this child just crying, shouting, screaming, throwing mm-hmm. things even. And so part of our protocols was to call the parents if the child doesn't stop for a couple of minutes, mm-hmm. 10, okay. 15 minutes.
That's a long time.
When I called them, yeah. So I was there. I needed to be there to make sure that the child is not hurting himself. Mm-hmm. So, okay. And before going to this place, before working for an international company, I knew my rights. I studied mm-hmm. the law in different places just to make sure I'm not.
I love it.
Working with children is a lawsuit waiting to happen. Anytime.
Oh, yeah.
Time. So I made sure I wouldn't have problems going back to the States or anywhere in the world. I called the mom. The mom responded. Mm-hmm. And when the mom responded, the child needed a hug. The child was crying. When the child saw the mom, the child kept on crying a bit, but it significantly lessened. And the mom was just there. The mom was quiet, cool, calm, collected. I feel like that's the epitome of cool, calm, collected. And she said, "I hear you. I know you're upset. Do you want to tell me why?" When the child didn't say anything, she just kept quiet. And I feel like these are moments, these are snippets of time wherein I knew I love what I'm doing. These are things that I know I couldn't get from a book. I couldn't get from school because this is a real life experience of kids having a meltdown. If I could record it, I would. But I know that it's etched in memory. It's a core memory kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's just so beautiful. And whenever I face meltdowns or children, because we put the word meltdown out there so easily.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
if you take a look at the literature, it's not. There's a definition between tantrums and meltdowns, and it's different. I just found out about it now because I'm back to school, but mm-hmm. yeah. So it's that. But the thing is, it's not only that. I don't just see it. I'm not just given gifts like nuggets of wisdom, as you mm-hmm. said, just like that. I also get, again, brutally slapped. So I work with this 7-year-old now. It's mm-hmm. my current job. And one day he went to me and said, "Teacher Keiko." And I know it from his face, from his mm-hmm. Behavior, that he's about to ask something funny. "Teacher Keiko, do you have a boyfriend?" And I was like, "No, I don't have." And he was like, "Yeah, because you don't look like the kind who likes boys." And I laughed. I cackled, laughed, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Why? Why do you think so?" "No, you know, you don't look like you like men, period." And this is a smart boy because I feel like it reflected on me and I really thought about it. And mm-hmm. this is why I love raising boys. This is why I love working with boys, because they don't have that. As young as 7, he has that concept already. And he has that.
Yeah.
He has those questions in his head already. And I was like, "You know what? Okay." And I literally brought it up to his mom, and and had that conversation. But it was so funny because this is why we need to teach boys that, you know, just because I am different doesn't mean, you know, because I find that I am currently living with a family of my employer, and I find that a blessing because I get to be with them in a candid way. I get to experience them. I get to be immersed in their lives. And I'm handling two boys. Both boys. I love it. Both of, I mean, all of us are seeing life differently because of these questions, because of the practices that I do, the way I dress, the way I present myself to them. They ask everything because they notice everything. And
they do.
They do. Yesterday, they asked, what the 7-year-old asked me, do you ever get angry? I was like, of course. But how come I've never seen you angry? And I feel like, again, let's go back to your definition of angry. What does it mean? So in a busy household, if you're a parent who works full time, you don't have this leisure to answer the questions of your children. And this is why I value dinner. I value late night conversations. It's something that I encourage because you're going to get so much. And the late night conversations are the conversations the kids look forward to the most. These are things that the children are so excited to have with you. And I feel like I know that my job here will end when the kids go back to school.
Yeah.
But it's an experience both parties will not forget because both parties were able to be an impact to each other. They have been they are leaving a mark to my life, and I am hopefully leaving something to them too. The experience is just so, it wakes me up. It wakes me up in different levels. It wakes me up emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally. It's stimulating in all aspects.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening to Sage Conversations. If you found value in our content, share your thoughts with us on Instagram and Facebook and tag us at Sage Conversations Podcast. Please subscribe and share this podcast with people you know and love. Every bit will help us grow our circle. Once again, thank you so much. May you be well and may you feel loved. Until the next episode.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.